Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris. With me, as always, is my co-host RJ Sines.
Oh, hello.
He's right there. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and who won the election.
We don't talk about politics on the show, man.
No. I really don't know who won the election. I was locked in the studio. You didn't let me out. I haven't had any contact with the outside world.
What about your phone?
I used up all my battery.
Doing what?
I was downloading Angry Birds.
The game or the movie?
Today we're talking about the animated 90s classic semi-fictional biography, Space Jam! Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a space jam. Welcome to the flam. Do your flam. Do your flam.
Who is it? I'm more of a space marmalade man myself.
There it is.
There we go.
Thank you, in-house drummer.
We're fresh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about Space Jam today. But first, RJ's going to take us through the world of comedy right now.
The wonderful world of comedy. You always make it sound like I'm going to take you on this tour of like...
And here, to your left, we have Bill Hader. But you have to imagine that all those little creatures are like...
The animatronic versions of comedians.
Yeah. Airplane peanuts!
Yeah. Airplane peanuts! What is the deal with that? Yeah, totally.
That's good.
On to some news. First off, in TV news, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who have worked together making movies like Superbad, The Interview, Pineapple Express, they're working on two new television comedies. One for Fox is a show about an MIT grad who ends up working for a Steve Jobs-esque tech genius who turns out to be a vigilante. And she ends up being the Alfred to his Batman.
Ooh.
What could happen?
That's fun. Is it a comedy?
Yeah. So, obviously, it's the... I mean...
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, it's all comedy. They're working on a comedy for Fox. And,
that's awesome.
I don't know. I think there's something there. Certainly, it plays on the classic, like, superhero tropes. And, you know, someone who is not in this world all of a sudden thrust into it being like a sidekick. It could be funny.
Do you think they'll have success just trying to create a superhero world?
They kind of did. They made that movie Green Hornet. Remember that movie?
No, that's a real thing.
No, I know it's a real thing, but they made the movie.
Well, yeah, I know that they, like, you know,
so they know the tropes.
But that wasn't
like,
necessarily that good of a movie.
No, it wasn't. That's why I'm not certain that they could pull it off. But you know what?
This just sounds to me like they're doing their own superhero. It's like starting from scratch.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. So not even from a comedic standpoint, but just from a comic perspective.
Yeah, will they have success like just trying to create a...
I guess we'll find out.
Because I feel like if you don't buy into that, then it doesn't matter if it's funny or not. You're not going to watch it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. The other one that I'm way more interested in, it's going to be on ABC... It says Ooh. That it's going to center on a young couple that tries to balance marriage and suburban life and the fact that one of them is in the Illuminati. Which is perfect because I'm literally reading this article and I'm going, oh, great. Just what I need, ABC. Oh, no. A sitcom about a young couple that needs marriage problems and what's this suburban life and what Illuminati? Like,
you fell for it.
I totally fell for it. I think it's very much them. Like, they love to just insert, like, the which of these things does not belong kind of tropes in their comedy.
Right.
And spin it on its head in a lot of ways. So this is really funny.
I can so see it as, like, you've always asked yourself that question. You hear about those kind of people. You see, like, I don't know, buildings that they operate out of. And you go, who are you in real life? Like, how did you get to this place? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of opening on like a KKK meeting and they're just like, hey, Steve, how are the kids? Like, you know, bringing that real life element to that craziness.
Roger, I heard you build a shed. That sounds delightful. I would love to come by and look at it.
So anyway, our first topic.
Racism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one will be good. One of the two will probably be good. My money's on the latter. In box office / movie news, there is rumors of a Willy Wonka origin story circulating around producer David Heyman, who had worked on the Harry Potter films and comedy. He'd worked on Yes Man, We're the Millers, kind of too, like, okay. But with a Willy Wonka character, much more like the Johnny Depp than the Gene Wilder version. So, like, remember that remake they did?
The less successful one.
Yeah, where he's like a sequined mime making quirky jokes and being effeminate. That's like the kind of prequel that they're going for. Is that going to be funny?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you have these two Willy Wonkas and you go with the way less successful one and you say, let's give him a backstory. Like,
well, because if you think of the Gene Wilder backstory for Willy Wonka, it would be like some dark, gritty, like True Detective kind of a story. But for freaking Johnny Depp, it's just like an acid trip for some dude in the 60s in the Amazon,
right,
where he finds some Oompa Loompas. And he's like, haha, I'm going to take you back to America and make candy. Like, this is,
right.
I don't see any value of success. And I am very much reflecting on the Billy Eichner joke about Johnny Depp and how we have just seen enough of Johnny Depp in this world.
You're
every
done.
Character, he comes doing some charismatic and classy gentleman who's quirky and he's pretty. He's quirky and he's pretty. Well, you know what, Johnny Depp? How about you stick with pretty and leave quirky for those of us who don't have a choice?
Billy on the Street.
I'm plugging Billy. Billy
That's
on the Street.
So
if
good.
If you think any of that joke is funny, you got to go see Billy Eichner. He's on Fuse TV right now doing his fourth season with John Hamm, the season opener. It's really funny. I've
That's
seen some
so
clips
good.
Already. Anyways, not going to go see that Willy Wonka origin. Going to go see that Illuminati.
Sounds like quite the fail. This week we're talking about Space Jam.
Not a fail at all in any way.
Not a fail at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up on the 20th anniversary. It's been 20 years since this movie was made.
That's incredible.
That's crazy. This movie is our childhood, and now all of a sudden it's 20 years later. It's awesome. This Space Jam is this live-action sports animated comedy that it was released 20 years ago, and it has Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes. You guys have all seen it. It's nostalgic. It's classic. It has all the tropes of Looney Tunes mixed in with Michael Jordan's real life.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It was successful. It had $250 million come out of it. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable to me that this is a film that I grew up with and almost as an afterthought, right? Because when you're a kid, you don't watch movies thinking like, I wonder how this is doing in the box office.
Right.
Or how Ebert and Ropert are critically claiming this.
Two thumbs way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. And now, I mean, I find myself making a podcast and doing some heavy, intensive research on a film that, quite honestly, I haven't seen in more than 5 years. So then I'm going, oh my gosh. This movie was by no means anything substantially comedic or hilarious, but it made so much money.
You find yourself doing a heavy amount of research on a movie that deserves zero heavy amount of research, which I think is the theme of this podcast. We do a lot of work on movies that don't deserve it.
Don't deserve it.
But we're the ones out there on the front lines doing it, providing you, the listener, our opinions.
This is for you, Warner Brothers. You would never do this for yourself. Bugs Bunny deserves better.
Oh, it's so good. But here's the question. Here's that age-old question. Why is it funny, RJ?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. This movie is funny. It's funny at times, but it is overall funny because nobody asked for this movie to be made.
No one.
This movie just broke its own rules, and it set boundaries and then broke them and flipped them on their head. It's so zany and ridiculous, and it appeals to the kid in all of us. The Looney Tunes stay true to their character, yet you have Michael Jordan troping his real life, but because it's Michael Jordan with his storied career, and plus he's just generally a terrible actor.
He's not good.
It works for the film. He doesn't know how to act, but he's MJ, and you love him. And so you kind of root for him, even though his acting is about as good as a dollar bill soaked in mud. It's so ridiculous, yet it's honest. It makes fun of itself more than it makes fun of anything else, and those are the times that you're laughing. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a true combination of the best of the best and the worst of the worst. It's not like anyone ever asked for this. Like you were saying, no one ever asked for this. The nostalgia in us says the movie combines two worlds like chocolate milk. Familiar, refreshing, instant classic. You could always go back to it.
Love it.
The critic in us, you and I, says this movie combines two worlds like chocolate alpaca milk. No one ever would have asked for alpaca milk, let alone chocolate alpaca milk. I will say the only true redeeming critical quality of this film is Bill Murray's performance. Full stop. I do this every episode. Full stop. If you did not know Bill Murray is in Space Jam, because like, stupid 90s film, never going to see that one. Freaking kids. Go change your diapers or something that you do when you're a kid. Like, go see this movie because it's worth it to know how funny Bill Murray actually is.
And so true to its own form, no one asked Bill Murray to be in this movie. Like, he just comes from out of nowhere. You know, like his introduction to the whole movie, he's playing himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's coming in playing, you know, this hero or this wacky or whatever. He's playing himself, and you meet him while MJ and Larry Bird and him are all playing golf.
Typical.
When does that ever happen?
It made me think that that's something that happens.
Right. Yeah. Right. That they're actually friends, that these two basketball legends are hanging out with Bill Murray on the golf course?
You know what? It would not surprise me.
It's just funny. I don't know. I just feel like I would have pictured just three NBA greats out there. I mean, but in instead context, you have like 5'6" Bill Murray just kind of whacking the ball. He does a perfect little nod to his own Caddyshack character when he's out there. He's got a umbrella hat on, and he's sitting out there, he's getting ready to putt, and he's talking to himself. He's like, come on, ball, me and you, we're this team, which of course is troping the classic Caddyshack moment where he's like, it's the fourth round of the World Series. I can't do it. That's more like Will Forte.
It's not bad. No, and he's out there and he's just like chatting it up with Michael Jordan, just like, you know, I can't play in the NBA because I'm white. And MJ's like, Larry's white.
Like, no way, man. Larry was white.
Larry was white. Larry's white.
Larry is white.
Larry was white. No, Larry's white. And Bill's response is, no, Larry is clear. Which is, I don't know if it's a knock on his complexion or the fact that he's transcended whiteness. I don't know.
No, it's just that Bill wants to be notified as the first white player. That's great.
Oh.
but Larry Bird is. It's so good.
Anyways, I want to go through this plot real quick. And Ben, you can stop me here. I mean, at any point when I go through this plot, but it gets pretty out of control pretty fast. Like you mentioned earlier, this is a live action animated comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Also semi sports biopic. This kind of mirrors Michael Jordan's career. Right, it came out in 96, and it mirrors his 93 leave from the Bulls and joining the MLB.
Yeah.
Correct? So the plot is thus. 93, Jordan retires basketball to play baseball. Next, Jordan sucks at baseball. Meanwhile, aliens try to capture the Looney Tunes. That was a big jump from reality. Okay, so real events happen, all the while cartoon aliens attempt to capture the Looney Tunes. Then the Looney Tunes decide to challenge the aliens to a game of basketball. Now, then the Looney Tunes kidnap, I repeat, kidnap Michael Jordan and coerce him to play for their lives. That's it. That's the movie. How did we go so...
When you say anything like that, it sounds ridiculous.
But, okay, I could have said that completely normal.
No, you're right.
Like, whoa,
you're
whoa,
right.
Whoa, 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 wait, what? Someone had the Looney Tunes and the alien? What?
Yeah.
Bill Murray was in this?
No, yeah, it doesn't make sense because it shouldn't exist. It's not anything that anyone ever asked for. Like, no one would think, like, okay, we're going to take Michael Jordan, and we're going to look at like maybe a low point in his career when he went to play baseball and it didn't work out.
Right.
We're going to take a hard look at that and we're going to kind of mix that in with the Looney Tunes. What? Why? No. Go away.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that right? meeting.
Oh my gosh.
So, Gary, what do you got for us today? So I was thinking, right, we got all these things, you know, here at Warner Brothers. We got those Looney Tunes lying around. What if, you know, they play some basketball?
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, they already do play basketball. It's not that hard for them. They're Looney Tunes. Right, I know, but what if they played with aliens?
Okay.
Okay, I see where you're going here. And then Bill Murray shows up, and he's like...
Okay, wait, you lost me there. Bring it back a little bit.
Michael Jordan.
he's gonna
win for them. That's what he's gonna do.
Oh, okay, yeah, now that makes sense. Here's $2,000. Go make the movie.
But it's like, you look at it, like if you're an executive,
they spent
it's
more
just,
than $2,000.
Yeah. You look at the two properties, Michael Jordan at 1995 and the Looney Tunes in 1995. It's just cash. You just see piles of cash. And you're an executive at Warner Brothers, and you're like, yeah, time to cash in on this for sure. And boy, did they.
Yeah.
And they made fun of themselves the whole way. But, you know, it's silly. They do some goofy things. But all in all, it's a kid's movie, and people forget that.
Right, yeah. It's so zany and crazy. Because it's the Looney Tunes. It's loony. Like, I think it's so smart that they said, okay, we're going to, you know, keep the Looney Tunes in their world and we're going to bring Michael Jordan down to it. You know, if they come up in their, like, you know, kind of Roger Rabbiting, it's a little more like Roger Rabbit where it's
right.
kind of, I don't know,
well,
hit
and
or miss.
Roger Rabbit was unique. Because it was a fictional universe wherein humans could interact with the animated world, right?
Right.
So this universe is our world with actual events that happen, like Michael Jordan playing basketball, being successful, playing baseball, being not successful. All the while, the Looney Tunes exist somehow at the center of the Earth. Like, that is the weirdest thing to me. And then there's aliens and all that business. I don't know. Let's break down some of these characters that we got going on in here.
Yeah, right. So you got, you know, MJ, which we've talked about, but you also have Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Newman.
Yeah.
Being Newmaner than ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's the publicist. He's the classic trope of the publicist who's trying to, you know, keep Michael Jordan happy. That's his only goal
Jordan,
in life.
Mr. Jordan, if you need anything at all, just let me know. I'll totally help you. And he's like just so annoying and...
His whole introduction is him, MJ sitting in the dugout, and he comes and he leans down and he falls and like hurts himself.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm okay. Mr. Jordan, what can I do for you? It's so ridiculous.
And Michael Jordan's like, it's okay. I don't need anything. It's like my Shaq impression, but he's just not. His acting, it just barely cuts it, which is also another funny thing because it kind of takes you out of the movie in a way. But, yeah.
But then you have Bill Murray and Larry Bird, the pals.
The pals, yeah. Good pals.
Larry Bird's just himself. He's kind of sassy, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray is Bill Murray.
He's very Bill Murray.
Being ridiculous. Then you got Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing,
yep.
Muggsy Bogues,
yep.
Larry Johnson, Shawn Bradley.
That's a good crew.
Like, that's the 96, like, the best... basketball players right there.
And again, for our listeners who have yet to see this film, let me break this down for you. You have the aliens who decide we're these weak little aliens.
Oh, and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, Danny DeVito's in that too.
Crazy.
He's the head boss.
He's the head boss alien.
So the five little minion aliens, they're kind of like minions. They decide we need to get really good at basketball because we suck at basketball.
Well, okay. Even before that.
Oh, really?
The boss needs them to get talent at his theme park. His theme park is literally the worst theme park in the world. It's at this place called Moron Mountain.
Sounds great.
Sounds not great. The only ride that you see is a cat that has a cigar in its mouth that shoots lasers at your ride and eventually hits your ride and you go flying. Why would you invent that ride? So he's upset with himself
waiting to happen.
Over the many lawsuits that he has. And he says, we need to get something. He's trying to find a word, and his little henchmen say, Looney. He needs the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So they go off to go get him. They think, we're just going to force him to do it. But classic Looney Tunes, they say, we're going to flip your logic on you. Bugs Bunny writes on a book that says, like, how to something. Oh, dang it. I can't remember.
How to capture cartoon characters.
Right, that's what he writes into it. But yeah. But it normally is like, yeah, how to draw. That's what it is, yeah. How to draw. And he just crosses out draw and says, how to capture cartoon characters. So now they think they have to follow this rule book, which they don't. But of course, it's Looney Tunes, so they believe it. And then Bugs Bunny says, we're going to confer. They say, we're going to do basketball because these guys are short. But then they go, this is your part, they go.
So I was saying, the NBA stars in this film, like Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley, they get their quote-unquote talent stolen by the aliens.
The little tiny aliens
who climb on top of each other and do the classic, like, five children inside of a trench coat make a normal-sized man-looking trench coat. And so they're in the NBA game. And again, if you haven't watched this, it's going to be very hard to describe this to you, but I'm going to try my best. One of the aliens decides to slip out from under the trench coat, transforms into this pinkish ghost ooze, slips out onto the court, goes up into Charles Barkley.
His nose.
His nose appears to possess him somehow, violently, and then escapes, and then transmits his quote-unquote talent into a basketball that they're hiding in the trench coat.
That they've had there all along.
That apparently they've had there. So five aliens of basketball in a trench coat. And meanwhile, they're sitting next to Patricia Heaton.
Yeah, mid-90s, they have Patricia Heaton, they have Deborah from Everybody Loves...
Deborah!
And they have Dan Castellaneta, who's Homer. Like, yeah. They took the two most successful 90s shows and were like, oh, we'll just throw them.
Just have them sit next to a trench coat filled with aliens. No one will doubt that logic.
Thanks, Warner Brothers.
So yeah, these aliens steal the talent from these famous NBA players, and Charles Barkley's like, that's a knucklehead way to play basketball. I don't have any of my talents anymore. That's like older Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that's him on the NBA on TNT.
Yeah, on TNT.
That's a knucklehead. He didn't know what the knuckle was a head.
My favorite is when he's on SNL and he goes, either the Wizards need to play some defense, or they need to learn how to use actual magic.
It's not a bad strategy.
No. Anyways.
But so now these aliens have the talent of the supposed best players in the NBA. They go back down to Toon Land. Which, by the way, to get to Toon Land, you go through the parking lot of a Piggly Wiggly.
I can tell right now, the people who are listening to this show are like, what the heck? If you haven't seen this movie, again, you are totally lost.
Oh, yeah. It's actually a really hard movie to, like, communicate
to
what's going on.
To explain to a stranger. Yeah. Hey, I just saw this great movie this weekend. What'd you see? Oh, Space Jam. Cool. What's it about? It's about, the Looney Tunes. Oh, really? And Michael Jordan. Oh, really?
Oh,
are they in space?
That seems like a strange combination.
Are they in space?
No, not
they're
at
the center of the Earth.
Kind of the opposite of space.
Cool. So, is there a bunch of basketball players? No, they're all cartoons.
There's some famous basketball players, but they don't know how to play basketball anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, what?
The film dedicates time to these players who, like, have lost their powers and are trying to go through MRIs and X-rays. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Patrick Ewing gets his power stolen mid-game. He got fouled. He goes up for the shot. And he just airballs it so far over and nails the popcorn guy.
He's like, popcorn! And just flies it everywhere like he was on an ejector seat from, like, Austin Powers, just ready to go.
This guy has, like, a plank full of popcorn. Just both hands, they go over his head.
I don't think you understand. This man has a diving board filled with popcorn.
He's standing on a springboard
and then launched into the crowd with popcorn flying everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
That's the scene that happens here. Very classic.
Other just ridiculous, unnecessary basketball explaining powerless people scenes is the Charles Barkley versus the girls in the hood scene.
The beautiful children of New York. It was just like some weird scene. It's like sad music. Charles Barkley, like, powerless or talentless, just walking along, puts his hands up to the chain link fence, watching the children play basketball, just ching, ching. He's like, puppy face. And these little girls like, oh, Charles Barkley.
Wait a minute, you Charles Barkley. Like,
yeah, I'm Charles Barkley. Come on and play basketball with us. Which he can't, to which the children proceed to ridicule him.
And I don't understand, like, you're Charles Barkley, you think, how can I get my powers back? I'm going to go play some girls in the middle of the hood. Like, why?
I think they were in, like, Orange County, to be honest. It was not the hood. It was a well-kept court.
It was ambiguous.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, he gets the ball stolen, he gets swatted, and they're like, you ain't Charles Barkley, you some look-alike. And they, like, ridicule him out of there.
They go, get out of here, you poser! And he's like, I have no identity without my talents. Existential crisis.
But so meanwhile, now these aliens have these powers. So the Looney Tunes say, well, we need some help of our own. Why not just take Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Because he's the best. He's retired, but he's still the best. We're going to take him and convince him. So they bring him down to Looney Tunes land. He's like, what? He doesn't say, like, is this real life or, like, help?
No.
He just goes, what's going on?
He goes, I'm in.
And they give him a big kiss on the lips to prove that it's real life.
A Looney Tunes seal of approval.
And now he's in.
He's in. But he's just sold instantly. What is it? I'm in the center of the earth. What is it? You're all real cartoon characters that have existed since the 1950s? Yeah. I'm your guy.
Okay.
We got to play some aliens for your lives. So we've already pointed out there are so many plot holes. There's even a literal plot hole in this film, wherein Michael Jordan gets sucked through
the hole in the golf course
down to Looney Tunesville. That's how he meets the Looney Tunes. He's playing golf with Bill Murray and Larry Bird, and they suck him down through the hole as he's getting his golf ball. I've never got a hole in one before. And Bill Murray's like,
just gone.
What the heck? It's like, don't point that camera at me, man. He, like, hits it out of Newman's hands. Wayne Knight.
So good. But so now they're down there. They have to play each other. Here comes the game, right? They practice. They get better. Now they have to play each other in this actual game. Somehow Newman gets down there.
Yeah. He follows Daffy and Bugs back when they go get Michael's shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Michael's like, I'll play on one condition. Get my uniform and my shoes.
Yeah, it's like weird.
Classic
specific
plot
rules.
Device. Oh, blech. I can't handle it.
So bad. That's the worst part when like Daffy and Bugs are in the real world and they're like weird 3D and they're like short.
And they ruin Michael Jordan's front yard.
Yes. I was so upset.
Ben was distraught. He's watching this and going, oh, think of the damages.
I appreciate good lawn maintenance and they just had no respect.
Oh, the crabgrass is going to run wild. Oh, and that pavement's going to cost a fortune.
But so now here's the game and... Yeah, for some reason, Michael Jordan is playing along, playing this game, even though by basketball standards, this isn't the game of basketball.
At all.
These Monstars, who they've self-named themselves, Monstars, because they're monsters and they're all-stars.
Boo.
Boo. They just, like, murder and punch, and they, like, don't, they just... steal the ball by knocking you way out of bounds and then slamming,
like,
it.
Legitimately injuring all of the players.
Yeah, they literally set Foghorn Leghorn on fire, turn him into a ball of ashes. and then slam the ball.
Would you like original recipe or extra crispy? He says that as he's being burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
So murdered. Imagine Foghorn Leghorn's last words. Would you like original recipe or extra crispy? And then he dies. He dies.
And comes back later.
Yeah.
Which is
3 days later.
Loony. But that, I mean, of course, this movie, like we said from the beginning, it never was asked to be made. And so it's not going to follow the own rules that it sets, yet it does and it doesn't. It's all over the place. Somehow Michael Jordan realizes that in Looney Tunes land, even if you're a human, you're not bound to real physics. You can stretch yourself. Newman gets blown up like a balloon.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that.
And so, oh yeah, that's the best part. He gets blown up like a balloon. He flies around. He lands. He's got to be taken on a stretcher. They don't have enough players. RJ, they don't have enough players.
Oh, yeah. So this is, again.
So, of course.
Out comes Bill Murray. Da, 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 da. He literally walks through the tunnel of the stadium and goes, da, 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 da. And
introing himself.
Introing himself. And Dan DeVito, as the old, like, alien boss man, he's like, I didn't know Dan Aykroyd was in this film.
Which is, how does he know Dan Aykroyd?
How does the alien know Dan Aykroyd? And how does any child know who Dan Aykroyd is? I didn't even know who Bill Murray was when I was a kid.
But that was a good joke.
Oh, absolutely.
You know why?
Why?
Because they were honest. They were so, like, looking at themselves going, this is Bill Murray. We're getting Bill Murray in here. We're just gonna tear him down a peg. We're going to be like, this is... You don't know who this is. It's probably Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Bill Murray goes on to be way more famous than Dan Aykroyd.
Sure. Arguably so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, even Bill Murray, he's making fun of himself the whole time.
Yeah.
Like he is like the thermometer of the honesty in this movie. He's just like, this is silly. This is stupid. Why not play a game? I was born for this. And even Daffy's like, hey, how did you get down here? And even though the other two people who got down there had stupid explanations, his explanation is, oh, well, I'm a friend of the producers, and so he just had one of the Teamsters drive me down here. Like,
And Daffy goes, that's how it goes. You're like, come on.
He looks at the camera, that's how it goes. Your impression was way better. That was good.
It doesn't make any sense. So now they have their fifth man. They got Bill Murray. What are they going to do? MJ just saw that Wayne Knight can be blown up like a friggin' balloon. So he goes, just give me the ball. I'll stretch my arm. Like, I'll make it dramatic, but I'll stretch my arm out. Because there's no rules in this place. It's like the Matrix of cartoons.
Oh my gosh, you are so right.
He realized there is no spoon because of Newman.
The limit does not exist. He literally
so
goes
then he
Matrix.
Stretches his arm out further than a human arm can stretch. And throws the ball directly down into the hoop at the last second, winning the game, freeing the Looney Tunes. It gets so convoluted at the end. There's like a side bet going on where now it's not the Looney Tunes. They're going to get MJ, and Danny DeVito's character is happy about that. But then the Monstars are still on his team, but once they win, they say, why don't you just pick on this guy? You guys are way bigger than him. So they do. They literally kill the guy. They send him on a rocket to the literal moon.
The Earth moon.
But through... They're in Looney Tunesville.
We can't think about Looney Tunes physics, okay? Again, you just were talking about how he stretched his arm.
Physics. Yeah.
Yeah, so then that's how Michael Jordan wins
there
the game.
There is no spoon.
He literally stretches his arm all the way across from half court and throws it in, and they win the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
So then now these weird alien creatures don't have a master... And they get sent off, and it...
No, they give their powers back to the NBA
players. Right.
And then, or they put it into the basketball, and then Michael Jordan gives the basketball back. I don't want it to get in there. And the aliens stay, and they say, we want to be Looney Tunes now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they get a job.
Yeah.
And MJ goes back to basketball.
Of course.
Which he did. Looney Tunes, the movie no one asked for. And the sequel we'll never get.
Was that the subtitle?
That is the tagline.
Looney Tunes, the movie no one asked for, and the sequel no one will get. And the only reason a sequel ever come about for this film, which I don't want, but I genuinely believe...
Would pay for.
Would pay for. And imagine it would happen, is because the people know, oh, there's a market for this. Look at this movie, Space Jam 1, made so many dollars, of course. Space Jam 2.
I mean, they've said it for a while. They've said, do it again with Kobe. Do it again with LeBron. You know, they want to just have the next basketball player come back and do it.
I think LeBron would be better in that because he's more charismatic. But I would want to see Kobe.
Well, we're Laker fans, so.
Well, no, here's why. Even if I wasn't a Laker fan, which I can't even imagine that world. But even if I wasn't, Kobe Bryant just wouldn't give one damn. He'd be like, yeah.
He just goes Mamba, like just ice Mamba. Cold.
Uh-huh. And Kobe Bryant, yeah, let's, we gotta win some points, see?
Yeah, I got this. Yeah.
He just
takes the ball for the whole time.
He never passes. Just scores on everybody and wins the game. Yeah, talk about a useful plot device, see? Yeah. My Bugs Bunny could do some work.
No, it's good. You're
thanks.
Good.
Thank you.
Again, this is the movie nobody asked for, but it has a certain style to it. You know, it's honest to a fault, mm-hmm. which is why it's funny.
Right.
But go into it about the style.
Like, for me, you have this really classic element of Looney Tunes slapstick. That is universal across the board.
Timeless.
Timeless. And this thing, there's a lot of jokes that don't land with the physical comedy. But there's also a lot of, I mean, kids will all laugh at the stupid, you know, Daffy Duck getting hit with a frying pan bit.
Sure.
And at the same time, there's jokes in this movie that land on a totally different level. There's weird adult jokes. There's like weird sports references and other random things. But even more than that, I don't know. I'm watching this movie again and I'm going, this is just a whole movie talking about how movies exist in the real world and in non-fiction.
Right.
Like what are we dealing with here? It's this balance of you're in a movie, you're not in a movie. This is real life. This isn't real life. This is a sellout. This is not a sellout. Like, you know, Michael Jordan can just do what he wants to do. Like, for crying out loud, the movie's about Michael Jordan saying, I want to stop doing basketball. I want to do baseball. And he fails miserably. Everyone knew that, even going into this movie. And he spoofs himself. He makes jokes on his own. I mean, there's even a joke in there.
Right.
Where he's like, man, he wears the heck out of that uniform. And the other guy's like, you can't teach that. Like, they're just making jokes at Michael Jordan's own career. Like, a year later, too
because
soon.
He's Michael Jordan. You can't help but love him.
Yeah, so it's like, he's selling out on like his own thing, but making money with this movie, Space Jam. Yeah. And Looney Tunes is selling out by doing a stupid film, but
with
still...
The
most popular basketball player, but still making so much money.
Right.
So like, I think we've kind of talked about this before. Like, we knock on movies that are dumb, but they're still... They know who they are.
They're
and
honest.
Like, they're like... And like I said, a huge subtext to this movie is, shut up, who cares? We're going to make some money. Like,
yeah.
Do what
yeah.
you want.
Really, like, the meta in this movie is cranked up because, like, even one of the jokes is Daffy Duck is saying, what are we going to name the team? What if we call them the Ducks? And Bugs Bunny goes, what kind of a Mickey Mouse organization would call their team the Ducks?
Oh,
now,
man.
Now, that's funny on a layer of different levels. 2 years before, D2, A Mighty Ducks, came out. Who Disney made that movie. So they're just literally
and then
stabbing that movie, but yet they're making fun of like big corporations selling out making movies, which is what they're doing.
But even more so, then the Disney company bought and created an NHL team called the Anaheim Ducks
yeah, yeah.
in real life. What kind of Mickey Mouse like Boy Scout operation goes and names their team the Ducks? Like, it's so on the nose.
Yeah.
And yet the people who wrote this obviously know, like, oh boy, we're just selling out writing these jokes.
But if they're gonna do it, they're gonna go down swinging. They're so
totally,
honest.
Totally.
They're making fun of themselves and everybody else.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you've heard our show today talking about just ripping on plot holes and stupid acting and, you know, washed up Looney Tunes gags, like, you know, hear us out. There's some classic bits in here.
Yeah.
And it's sprinkled with meta intentionality. The subtext is ripe for the picking. And
like,
if you look for it, it's there.
Like we've said, this movie was never asked to be made. And we've just spent so much time critically going through it and tearing apart the plot holes. yet this movie made money and it doesn't care.
Yeah.
So the joke's on us.
Seriously. Yeah, not only
but
that.
But we're out there doing it for you.
Yeah.
We won't stop.
We will never
That's
stop.
The creed of this podcast. If people laugh,
this is for you, Warner Brothers, because you wouldn't care.
Oh, my goodness. But now you know what time it is in the show, RJ.
It's time for you to tell me what exactly your explanation is for the same exact Wacky Facts theme song every week.
My explanation is laziness. But this week, I had a spark of exaggeration.
Don't know exactly what that word is.
It's a cross between exasperation and excitement. It's when I got so excited that I created a full-length feature song. It's in the tune of R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly, but it's...
Oh, like from the Space Jam soundtrack.
Right, because we knew we were doing this movie, so now it's I Believe I Can Wacky. Ready? Take it away, boys.
That's not even it. You just suck. What the heck?
I left the file at home.
No, you did.
Yes, I did. I spent time on it.
How much time?
Money and time. Okay, it doesn't matter. Wacky Facts is the part of the show where I, Ben, talk about some wacky facts, and RJ rates them by putting on the basketball court. Should we change it up this week?
I've decided to retire from the game of basketball. I'm going to pursue my dreams in baseball.
We'll see how that works out. Here's fact number one. During filming, Warner Brothers built MJ an entire basketball court just so he could play and stay warm in between takes. But that was his court.
What?
Nobody else played on that court.
No one touched it.
No one touched it.
Oh, my.
They built a basketball court specifically for MJ, a full basketball court.
They couldn't just throw up one of those like heavy-duty Nerf
hoop dreams.
Like up on the door. Like no. Everyone else had growing up. Gosh.
MJ needs regulation.
Do we know how much that was?
Six. No, I
Jeez,
don't know how much it was.
That is way too much or way too little. Man. Comment.
So how wacky is that?
That's pretty wacky. It's pretty snobby, too, of MJ, if we're going to be real.
I know, right?
I thought he was more of a Hanes guy, just real classy. I guess I was wrong. I'm never buying those underwear again.
There is a moment in the movie. Sorry. I had the Wacky Facts song in my head. Sorry. You'll hear it later. There is a moment in the movie where Wayne Knight's character comes in and says, get your Wheaties, put on your Hanes, drink your Gatorade. We're going to stop and get a McDonald's burger on the way out of here. And he did ads for every single one of those that Wayne Knight mentions that year in 1996.
The product placement is so cleverly placed.
It's classic. Here's fact. Wait, did you put it on the baseball field?
Yeah, that's a swing and a miss for Michael Jordan.
Okay.
100%.
Oh, solid.
Shame on you, MJ.
Are they all just going to be Michael Jordan missing because he wasn't that good at baseball?
Fool me once, Michael Jordan, for making a movie that you shouldn't have. Fool me twice by making Warner Brothers pay for your own court. Strike three.
That's good. Fact number two. Space Jam is the first animated movie ever to be edited for content on TV airings. When it airs on Cartoon Network, Daffy Duck saying, "We're getting screwed," is spliced out along with Bugs Bunny's kiss on the mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought we were past that. In 2016, I thought we could kiss on the mouth now.
Well, I mean, this probably turned into, like, they put this on TV probably, like, early 2000s. Like,
yeah, that's true. Even early. I mean, it came out, like, later in, you know, 96. Yeah, 97.
It came out.
Well, I mean, on home release. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. The kiss on the lips thing. I would say the kiss on the lips... You know, that shouldn't be cut from TV.
Right, that's classic Bugs.
The screwed...
He kisses everyone
screwed
on the lips.
Screwed, maybe. But what really should be cut is when Daffy Duck kisses his own arse.
Oh, yeah.
He literally lifts up his butt, turns his head around, and has a Warner Brothers tattoo on his butt, and kisses it like full mouth kissed. Which is just, again, another knock on themselves. Like, they're just so sold out. But... yeah, that's that's pretty wacky. I would say another Michael Jordan up to bat. And then, you know, the catcher's like, don't swing. He's like, what? Don't swing. He's like, oh, okay. And then he swings and he gets a strike.
Oh, dang it, MJ. It just felt wrong not to swing. Here's fact number three. Space Jam is the highest grossing basketball movie of all time.
Wait,
You didn't mishear me. It is the highest grossing basketball movie of all time, coming in at $250 million in 1996. Like, it made it that year.
What?
It is the third highest sports movie of all time.
Sports.
Yes.
Like, in if you go category sports.
Yes. It is the third highest, only being beat out by Rocky IV and The Blind Side.
What?
It made cash.
That's a load of Sandra Bullocks. For real.
No, it's not. That's the truth. I don't lie about the facts.
Okay. This is really wacky. I'm very excited to rate this. Michael Jordan, he has had two failed at-bats. And now he's there, ready to go, and the guy throws the ball, and then he's got a cartoon bat.
Oh, it's real big.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
a log.
It's like he's holding a, it looks like a black bat, but it's Daffy Duck. He's like, fuckers! And he just, gosh, like, has another large bat that, nice, he's holding onto, and he just hits a huge home run.
He swings Daffy, who swings the bat.
Yeah, who swings the bat, which sends it up to the moon.
It sends it flying, and it's close up on the back of the ball, and then you realize that it's Porky Pig. He goes, ibby, 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 ibby. That's all, folks.
Da, 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 da. And then it cuts to, I believe I can fly. I believe. Slow fade out. See me running through that open door.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe.
But those are the facts, and you know what that means. It's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Cha-ching.
That's what we're talking about.
Dollar eyeball emoji. This week's email reads, hey, Ben and RJ. You guys said that Year One was not a funny movie. I can't disagree more. That's one of my favorites, and Michael Cera is an American hero. Do your homework, JP.
He can't disagree
more.
He can't disagree.
He can't disagree. I don't understand the complaint, JP. Look, if you want to talk about semantics, JP, if that is your real name, who names their kid letters? Ugh, tacky parents. Look, Year One is not a good movie. We didn't think it was that funny. We don't even say it was a bad movie.
And here's the thing. Comedy is all about
subjectivity,
timing, but also it's whatever you think. We think it's not funny. You think it's funny. Guess who's right? No one.
Are you mad?
And both of us.
Look, you've made Ben mad, JP.
I am
he is
mad.
Steaming red. Okay? So if you want to insult our podcast, no, I'm just kidding. This is a
PJ,
good point.
Come on.
Look it. Year One.
You're right.
Funny movie.
But you're wrong.
Great movie. Michael Cera. Classic. Great mustache. Amazing Arrested Development.
McLovin.
He's not McLovin.
Oh. McLovin's in the movie.
Yeah. McLovin. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But also, like, you're wrong. But also, we're wrong. But also, who cares? It's Year One. It's not like it's what color is the sky.
First of all,
because we all know it's colorless.
Thanks, JP, for writing in. We appreciate it. Other people can write in as well. If you have anything you want to say or tell us or have us read, please email it us in. RJ, where can people find us?
Yeah, you can email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us your critiques, your questions. We'll literally read whatever.
We'll tell you why you're right and you're wrong, but we're right and you're wrong.
But whatever, and it's the same. And
it's all good.
Everything's meaningless.
Comedy.
We're all going to burn up in 4.3 billion years when the sun explodes.
Timing.
So you can also find us on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. Be sure to check out our Twitter page, @WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And again, email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. rodolphthebrown.com. You can find me, RJ, on Twitter at Rodolph the Brown. You can find Ben at Hickory Ham 1992. And thanks for tuning in this week. You can check out bensound.com. We thank him for our theme music every week. Tell your friends, and we've been getting some increased iTunes ratings. We're very thankful for those.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Huge shout out to whoever you are. You know who you are. You at home today listening, I know that you are proud of that rating.
One more other contact that you can go ahead and check out. If you're still got some Space Jam nostalgia, and also you have some nostalgia for what the internet was like 20 years ago, go ahead and check out www.warnerbros.com/Space Jam/movie.
Backsplash. I want a Space Jam backsplash with a little side of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. No, honestly, just Google Space Jam.
No. You can't do that. You have to go to www.warnerbrothers.com/Space Jam/movie/jam.htm. And you'll get there.
You honestly, if you Google it, it's the first result.
But it's more fun when I say it out loud.
And it looks terrible. It looks like all the worst it's 90s
yeah.
internet you've ever seen. There's the Ooga Chaggy Baby on there. He's dancing.
But it still works.
Yeah. So thanks for listening today, guys. Make sure to check back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday for a new episode.
We're going to keep cranking them out as long as you guys keep listening in.
Yeah. Hopefully.
But for us, we've always said that comedy is all about time.
The rift between reality and fiction.
Dang. Goodbye, everyone.